Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week with great Mexican food. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We are continuing a live radio program on March the 28th, 2020. And guess what we're going to do right now?
What are we
Oh, you know what we're going to do.
Oh, I know. That's my favorite time of the show.
It is.
It's me.
It's the El Paso History Moment, written by you. Otherwise, if you're saying it, it's me, Melissa Sargent. And you do this with the El Paso History Alliance. And History Moment today, wow, here's a big one. Our History Moment today is about the four dead in five gunfight with Dallas Stoudemire, an early Freemason.
The bodies of two Mexican vaqueros recently murdered were brought to El Paso. An inquest was held in the Justice of Peace office located in the vicinity of present-day Camino Real Hotel. 75 riders from Mexico charge up and down El Paso Street demanding justice. When the inquest is terminated, the vaqueros ride back across the Rio Grande in Mexico carrying the bodies of their dead compadres. Out on the street, former city marshal George Campbell is arguing with Gus Kremkow, constable and former Texas Ranger, about the dead vaqueros and their compadres. Disgusted, Campbell turns to mount his horse when his friend Johnny Hale screams, "I'll take care of this for you, George." Then Johnny shoots Kremkow. Marshal Dallas Stoudemire, crossing the street to grab a bite to eat, hears the gunshots, turns, and runs, firing his six guns, accidentally killing an innocent peanut vendor. Dallas then turns the guns on Johnny Hale and George Campbell. Johnny dies instantly, and George, mortally wounded, cries out, "It's not my fight!" When the dust clears, four men are dead, all killed in 5 seconds.
More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
Interesting stuff there. And also Dallas Stoudemire, when he ultimately got killed and the Masons buried him.
Yeah.
They shipped him out and paid for it.
They paid for a new suit. They paid for all the expenses because his wife, he'd only been married to her for a very short period of time, didn't have any money. So, and then she moved him. They moved him to Allenton, Texas. And then he was moved later on to Columbus, Texas.
That whole idea of early El Paso history would be several movies. Many a movie on the gunfighters. Oh, and my goodness.
Makes me crazy.
And also on, obviously, the Freemasons. All right. This is the El Paso History Alliance, and you do that on Facebook, too, right?
I do it on Facebook. Yes, I do. We have over 55,000 followers now. We have a lot of people interested in our history, and Max is doing a great job out there along with his other team. And if you have interesting information or want information, you can also give Bernie a call at 915-581-7920 and talk to him about it also.
And also, this is the Barbara Given Bainey crowd.
Gosh, Barbara Given
Read the rest
Bainey.
Of that. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I forgot all about her. She and her
don't,
crew.
Don't forget her.
I'm not forgetting her. I'm just moving papers around. No, Barbara does a fantastic job. I mean, she's got this going on so well out there, and it's keeping a lot of people entertained. It's a place to go to spend some time.
On Facebook, it's called Remember in El Paso
When. Yeah.
It's a funny name, but once you get to figuring it out what's in there, they've got a bazillion archive pictures of El Paso. Just one example I've said before, I asked for a picture of Hart's Mill. I got about 30 different angles never seen before from the U.S. Army, from people walking by, whatever. Anyway, but she's on Facebook. Administrator for her, Rick Duncan, bunch of people out there. Margaret D. Smith, a great niece of the Trosts.
Yes, she's one of them.
She's administrator. So,
she was the one that sent the information on, Bernie looked it up, that her grandfather, George Ernst Trost, was the youngest Mason in the world to have all degrees. I mean, that was amazing for him at that time.
We are talking about Freemasonry as a subject. We've got a couple of historians on the line here. Was there something else you wanted to say before we get to them?
No.
Okay, we're good then. But the thing is about El Paso Freemasonry, the whole point is, if you want to know how the structure of El Paso occurred, you look to the Freemasons, and they didn't say much about it because they don't promote themselves. That's the secret of Freemasonry that I learned. But another whole group that did a whole lot of stuff in early El Paso was the Women's Club of El Paso. And they quite often were married to some of these guys.
Oh, yeah.
And they went hand in hand. The Women's Club was quite often a more public charity where they'd start the book club and the library thereafter, the symphony, kinds of things.
They were Eastern Stars at that point, right, too. My great-grandmother was an Eastern Star.
And that's an affiliate of Freemasonry.
Yeah.
There's an Eastern Star headquarters in Washington, D.C. that would blow your mind.
Oh, I could believe it.
It's the former Belmont Mansion of the Belmont Stakes, and the money in New York. The guy decided to build himself a little house in D.C. It's an entire city block. Fabulous place.
Amazing.
Also, just to let you know, in Washington, D.C., I know that because I did the video tours of a lot of these buildings. The other one I did a video tour was the Scottish Rite House of the Temple, the southern jurisdiction. Mm-hmm. That's on 16th Street and R, or RS, one in there. And also, I did a video on the George Washington Masonic National Memorial in Alexandria, Virginia. If you've ever flown into D.C. from the south and you see this big thing on the side, it looks like a huge building. That was going to be the location of Capitol Hill at one point.
Oh, my gosh.
And George Washington said he owned property next door. Not going to do it. So, all right, let's get these guys back on the phone here. We're looking for Ismael Gutierrez and Russell Booth.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
We're good, thank you. Thank you for sticking with us. Russell Booth?
Present.
Indeed, sir. Now, which lodges are you guys in? Ismael, which lodge are you?
So I belong to El Paso Lodge 130, and Russell belongs to Fraternity Lodge 1111.
Okay.
He's the current master of, Fort Hancock, Rusty? Fort Hancock, Fort Bliss.
And also, what people don't understand is the term you just used, the worshipful master. Why is that term used?
Essentially, I always like to tell people that, you know, it's essentially the president of a corporation. And, you know, so he's the master, he's the head guy in charge. I don't know if Rusty could, you know, define it differently. Rusty?
That goes about right. And a lot like an immediate past president, we have past masters. So Ismael's past master 130. I'm past master of 1111 and the seated master for Fort Hancock.
Well, I think the public gets a bit confused when you use the term worshipful. And the public also gets confused when you use the term temple.
Right.
And so explain the Scottish Rite temple.
So it goes back to King Solomon's temple.
Take us there. Take us there. Go ahead.
We use a lot of Old English, and, you know, worshipful, if I remember it correctly, just means, you know, somebody that, you know,
respectful.
Demands respect, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the terminology that we use confuses a lot of people. And so, you know, we live in an age of, you know, where the flood of information is easily obtained at our fingertips. But, you know, that hasn't made us more discerning of the truth.
No, but but when the public hears it, they think, "Who are these guys?" And then you don't normally get an answer, and they just walk away confused. The reason we're doing the program today is El Paso was incredibly influenced by Freemasonry, by the members, and it wasn't so much that the Masonic Lodge itself did that, but the people who were in the influential positions, they were connected to each other by the lodges.
Right. And the way I could, you know, give an example of that, I went to Cathedral. That's a brotherhood.
Yes.
And so, you know, Masonry is a brotherhood. We advocate for, you know, helping others. I mean, the education system here in El Paso, we established the El Paso Independent School District. And another member that you could know is Freddie Clyell. He's his trustee. You know, we helped establish a lot of schools in the United States of America. You know, Leland Stanford was, he established Stanford University.
How about Baylor? Baylor.
That's right. Another proud Mason.
How about the Mormons? The Mormons are all over it.
Right. So
Joseph Smith.
Yes.
That's right. A lot of people get confused with, you know, it's all those principles that are embedded in our Constitution, you know, that, you know, it doesn't care who you are, what position you are in life. You know, we show deference to everybody.
Let's dial this back to the U.S. Constitution, because as I understand it, the Constitutional Convention was composed of about 52 members. The majority, like 37 or something, I get the right number, were actually Freemasons. Am I close on those numbers?
Not entirely.
I didn't think so.
Not entirely, but it's a good chunk. Like the signers of independence, like, if I could remember, was it Franklin, Hancock? You know, a good chunk. We're Masons.
So of the 37 that signed the Declaration, there was about eight that were actual Masons, including
right.
Ben Franklin, John Hancock, Robert Payne. So it's a common misconception that all the designers were, but they definitely were part of the hand, you know, of the formation of our national capital and our national, you know, conscience with, you know, George Washington, the Marquis de Lafayette. I mean, they were influential in that designing of what we've become today.
Ben Franklin went to Europe to learn and connect with people in Europe. He did that through Masonic lodges, like Voltaire. He was in the Masonic Lodge.
Yes. So I got a quick personal story about Ben Franklin, if I can.
Okay.
So I traveled to Philadelphia for a conference, and I actually went to the Grand Lodge of Philadelphia. And I just walked in and went into a lodge, and they let me in, and they said, here, you need to sit down. So I sat down in the room before the meeting started. This elderly man came and put a hand on my shoulder, and he says, that's not your chair, brother. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I stood up ready to and he's like, no, you can sit there, but just so you know, that's not your chair. I said, okay. He says, that's a chair of Brother Franklin.
Ooh.
And I had actually went in and sat at the lodge that he was a part of in Philadelphia. And apparently they do that to all visitors, but it made the hair on the back of my neck stand up. It was quite amazing.
Oh, you had Washington sleeps here. Now you have Ben Franklin sat here.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just the point is what we're trying to make here is that these guys were incredibly influential, and even today still are, across the country. And it's kind of a silent group of people, but if you want to get to know them, you, as you said, Russell, you have to ask one. And then at that point, you'll get the whole... And that's why you guys are talking on the radio, is because I asked you to. Is that fair?
Russell still that's sits fair. On the wrong seats at Lodge, just for the record.
You guys work that out, because I can't get in there to find out. But the point is that in Masonry, it goes way back to King Solomon's Temple, and that is part of your ritual. Just to explain... correct me where I'm wrong, but what people need to know about the degrees of Masonry, the first three are the basic degrees, and at that point you become a Master Mason at third degree. They are a play, and the candidate is in the play. To elaborate what you can about that without revealing anything you're not supposed to. Was that
Rustin,
it?
Go ahead.
Okay. If you guys don't want to do it, I will. Basically, you're a candidate for Freemasonry, you go through a ritual.
If I can.
Yeah, please.
So basically, the three degrees, the first one is the Entered Apprentice, the second is the Fellow Craft, and the third is Master Mason. And essentially, it's representative of a man's life. You know, as an EA, it's your formative childhood, if you will.
Youth.
Once you become a Fellow Craft, that's you as a young man.
Manhood.
As kind of a 20-something, 30-something, where you're coming into your own, where you're learning about life and where you belong in it. And once you become a master, it's almost like you're an elderly sage that has the full scope and knows the full ramification that life has. So it's kind of this journey, you know, and it's done through these plays and allegories so that it introduces you into what you need to learn in order to become, you know, a successful man in your community, in your family, in your profession. So it's an important, that's why it's so important to us as Masons, you know, because it's kind of a formative process where we learn how to become who we're supposed to become.
Now, you take a good man and make him better. That's how I understand it. So you vet the people when they apply, and if they're not something of quality, you won't take them.
Correct.
So if you're going to apply for a Masonic Lodge, just remember that, people.
I'd like to add, you know, it's important to sometimes, we're really reserved. A lot of negative connotations come with the word secret.
Yes,
we're an organization that's reserved, just like any, you know, board meeting. You know, the Fortune 500 companies, they want to remain, you know, private, and so essentially we are reserved. We don't have, like, we're in El Paso. Y'all are familiar with the term chisme or chismoso,
yes,
which means no gossip. You know, and so we believe that, you know, we should do good deeds. Good deeds should come naturally without, you know, reward. I mean, nobody has to give us something for us to, you know, live uprightly, just like George Washington and all these great men that have gone before us.
One other distinction, we got to take a break, but one other distinction I'd like people to understand is Masonry has been misunderstood so well over time that people thought it was some sort of religion, maybe. And here's the difference.
No.
Masonry has no path to salvation.
Right.
And that's basically the distinction. A church, a religion, they all tell you how to get to salvation. Masonry does not do that. They bind you to your own religion, and good luck with that. I mean, a quick story. I was talking to some grandmasters I knew when I did some videos in D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and D.C. came together as a committee for the bicentennial of the U.S. Capitol. And in the discussions there, one of the guys had just been, he's Jewish, and he had just been to Israel. He met in Lodz somewhere on the Temple Mount with Muslims and with Arab Masons, and they all did together. They all put their hand on their own holy book to swear their oaths. And that's basically, as I understand it, you have to swear to your own religion, and then they watch you as you behave, and if you don't behave, then they get mad at you.
Right. See, and that's one of the cool things. There's a lodge in Minnesota that in order for a lodge to open for business, you have to have basically a holy book on the altar in order for us to work. In this lodge, they had the Holy Bible, they had the Quran, and they had the Torah all on the same altar, because there was men of all these faiths that were within that lodge building. And that's one of the important things about the formation of America. You know, America was formed mainly, you know, because of religious tolerance and the freedom to practice your religion how you see fit. And that's what was ingrained into that Constitution, and that's where Masonry becomes really important.
It does.
And that's why Masonry became successful during you know, the Renaissance and whatnot, because the Catholic Church and some of these churches that said that religion is the be-all and end-all, the Masons came together and says, we can be together with men of all kinds of faith. And that was a revolutionary idea at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, very
and
much
the fact of the matter is that if you didn't practice a certain religion, you could be executed. And that's where that secrecy came in, because now you had all these faiths coming into a lodge meeting, and they were able to interact with each other and basically develop ideas that spawned, you know, innovations, you know, in our modern world. And so that religious tolerance is a very critical key to Freemasonry.
I wanted to point
that
out. I want to take a break here, guys, because we have to do that. We have sponsors that we need to identify. And if you guys haven't had lunch yet, as we get closer to lunch, Melissa, we give that phone numbers out. I bet they're going to get busy. So Russell, if you hold on there, Ismail, and hold on if you don't mind. And if you got a cough, Sergio, put them on hold in there, would you? We'll be back to you guys in a minute. But somebody also has called in and asked, what about the videos we mentioned? And here's what we've done. We've taken almost every video I've made about El Paso, the documentaries on Waco tanks, the gunfights of the Old West, Legends of the Mountains, Tom Lee's El Paso, Mount Cristo Rey, and on and on and on. And we have, I think, 11 or 12 of them now on YouTube for free. So that's my contribution, what I can do. Because I'm basically done with making videos. We make little videos, I'll also mention in a second here. But the big videos are now online. These are like one-hour documentaries each. And if you're looking to homeschool yourself or your children, this is a good thing to do when you got nothing else to do. You know, you chalk the block, you got so much of that done. Come back and pull up the internet. Take a look at the videos that we've put on there. Some of you have bought them over the years. We thank you for that. We're no longer selling them, basically. They're free online on YouTube. www.youtube.com/El Paso History TV. Now, there are two playlists when you get there. One of them is the documentaries I'm just mentioning, but the other one is the broadcast that we have done with Bernie Sargent on local ABC7. We've done 16 of those in the last 2 years. We've got four more that just went into ABC7. I hope in all their coronavirus gizmo thinking over there, they can figure out how to play these in the month of April, because we have four brand new ones, aerial footage of all the missions and the including Juarez. It's amazing to see that tiny little white church over there, Melissa.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just sitting at one time in history by itself. It's got a huge city surrounding it.
Oh, I know.
So
it's
that's
amazing.
El Paso History TV. It's a YouTube channel. Go there and be square. And our archives are online for the radio show.
That's right.
Go listen to a bunch of those at ephistory.com. Okay, you going to give out the names again, phone numbers?
That's right. Well, I'm going to give out for Pepe's. They, like I said, they have food to go from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day, except Monday. And they're also available is the one and only margarita, so you can get a picture of those to take home.
Can you really?
Yes, yes.
Are they going to card you on the way out the door? They should have to.
I don't
think they will,
yes. Amigos also has their takeout, and you can get that. I'm not sure the hours, but you can call them at 5.
Till 2 o'clock.
Yeah, till 2 o'clock.
8 a.m. to 2 p.m.
8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Oh, you get breakfast.
Yes.
533-0155.
And that's down there at Amigos 2000 Montana. Ring them up ahead of time. I did that yesterday when I got there. The food was ready. And I said, has anybody in the kitchen been to China? Anybody in the kitchen? And they said, no, they're all healthy and it's all clean. So take it home and eat it. Good takeout food in both those restaurants. And don't forget, Mission Del Rey
Southwest
is back to being an online business.
That's right.
This is how they started. So missiondelrey.com. Take a look at that. Patrick Tuttle Real Estate also is another sponsor. Oh, and let's poke fun at Ray Baca.
Oh, Ray.
Ray's a good guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's Monterey Asset Management. Don't call him because he's trying to retire.
Yeah.
But he still supports us.
Oh, but he does a lot of things. So he's busy, busy, busy guy.
And he's doing the Republican thing now. Good luck with that. Yep. And also, did you know he spent most of his time in recent years as a high school referee?
You mentioned that before,
Yeah, so there you go. Thanks.
Good character.
Thanks.
See, he does a lot.
He does. All right, we'll be back with the Masons in a moment, and you can send a question in to Bernie. Do you have any more announcements for the moment?
Not at the moment. Why don't we just go to break? I mean, if you want to give us a call, you can call at 544-KTSM or 915-544-5876 and talk to Bernie.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle, the real estate guy with Legacy Real Estate Services. If you're going to sell your home this spring, you owe it to yourself to give me a call at 915-585-7777. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me.
Hi, Jackson Polk here from the El Paso History Show. And I just bought a house through Patrick Tuttle. He's a real estate expert in El Paso, and he should be your agent.
I'm Patrick Tuttle. Call me at 915-585-7777.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Prescription products require an online physician consultation and are only available if the physician determines a prescription is appropriate. Subscription required. See website for full details and important safety information.
Hey guys, good news. The expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means the prescription medication to treat ED is super affordable at 4hims.com. And now get your first online doctor's visit free at 4hims.com. That's right. Zero copay, no awkward face-to-face conversations to get your prescription. That's really good news. To start your free online visit, go to this exclusive address, 4hims.com/joy. That's FORHIMS.com/joy.
With uncertainty in these times, here's something that is certain. Save money on your wireless bill with great customer service when you switch to Pure Talk USA. Plans start at $20 per month depending on how much data you need. All plans include unlimited talk and text. Pure Talk covers 99% of Americans and are confident you'll love their service with a one-month risk-free guarantee and 50% off your first month. Go to puretalkusa.com, enter promo code SAVE50. That's puretalkusa.com, promo code SAVE50.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. And by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We're going to be doing live shows, as far as we can tell, until further notice. Next week, well, you never know anymore.
Yeah.
April the 4th, Martha Vera is coming in. She's our guest. Oh, but she's not coming in. She'd be by phone. Mm-hmm. That's the requirement here. No new people. Our germs are normal here.
Yeah, it's okay.
Whatever. But anyway, Martha will come in by phone as our guest to describe the Spanish influence and history in our American Southwest. I mean, it's not a minor matter, as you know. Guess what the name of the city is?
What?
El Paso. And guess where that came from? The Spanish. So why did these Spanish, what did they do in relation to our American Revolution? Did you know the Spanish in this valley and all the way up to Albuquerque were instrumental in the American Revolution?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, big time. So we'll get to that. April the 11th, Al Borrego, he's got a major conference that had to be postponed. But I rang him up, talked to him yesterday, said, hey, can you just describe what you were going to do? And his conference is postponed till September, but he can give us a great preview. And plus, Al can talk about it at San Elizario forever. So we'll have him on April the 11th. And we have just talked him into it. Bernard Sargent's going to be our guest. And can you call screen and be a guest at the same time? He says he can do
He's talented.
He's in there shaking that cowboy hat. But he is going to come in April the 18th. And we're going to talk about the videos that we have online again. And also, he's going to come in with History A to Z. And we'll find some good stuff to talk about. The new segments that we produce for ABC 7 make it number up to 20. And I hope they can run them in April here. Now, you had a caller with a question for our Masonic friends.
Yes, we did. She wanted to know, have we had any recent mayors that were Freemasons, say from like the 50s forward?
Let's put our callers back up here, Sergio. Any recent Masons? And we got Russell Booth and Ismael Gutierrez. Any recent Masons that we know of?
The one that I could think of, he said the 50s, maybe Tom Lee Sr.
Well, he was 1916. He was 1916, yeah.
That's way before then. I don't know of any. Maybe Russell knows.
I don't know of any mayors. I know that Charlie Hooten, and he was a county commissioner. Mm-hmm. He's kind of like a modern political person. Andrew Haggerty, he was a commissioner. I think that he was one. But as far as that, it's kind of, kind of bleak, I think.
Well, we should possibly ask them permission before we name them. That's just another question. All right, let's talk about Freemasonry and its history in America. The whole point is, in my opinion, a lot of America was established in the Revolution, and also all the way down to El Paso, good old El Paso. The people that came in here first and established businesses, established schools, established the infrastructure when it came about for the technology to have electricity, to have gas, to have water. Those were done by people who were businessmen and who were leaders of the community, and one common thread they all had was their membership in Masonic lodges, basically, correct?
Right. The El Paso Pioneers Association, when they first met, were all Masons of my Masonic Lodge. And as you said earlier, they did establish, the El Paso First National Bank, El Paso Independent School District, El Paso Electric, the railroad car, and so we talked about Polk. I talked with you about O.T. Bassett and Moorhead, and how that railroad brought a lot of people, and with it brought a lot of businesses to come to the area.
All right, let's dial this back to the American Revolution. George Washington had all of his generals were Freemasons, correct?
Yes, that's right. The laying of the cornerstone was done by George Washington. And it was done in his Masonic regalia.
Now,
and
you're talking about the
capital.
The U.S. capital. Okay, but you're talking about the U.S. capital. Okay, but also George Washington's Lodge, Alexandria Washington Lodge 22, laid the cornerstone of the District of Columbia. And that is
That's
now
right.
the Jones Point down in the south part of the city. It's kind of underwater now. But they went back in 1991 and did another ceremony. I video recorded it. Take us to the next bicentennial, which was the White House. Can you talk to that?
So the architect, if I remember correctly, his name was Hoban.
James Hoban.
Yeah, that's right. He was a Freemason. And so, everywhere in Washington, D.C., really, you see the influence of the Masons. And going back again to the Capitol,
yes.
You have that humongous
The apotheosis of Washington by Brumidi certainly supports this claim. So Masons aren't venerated to divine status, but they're, you know, very, very important.
Well, the Masons laid the cornerstone of the U.S. Capitol, specifically George Washington himself. And you can see a painting of that in the U.S. House of Representatives up on the ceiling. And that's kind of what started me thinking, what the heck is that all about? So I asked my mother. She said, oh, yeah, your father petitioned and your grandfather was in the lodge. And the whole crowd here was amazing. Then I started unraveling that. I said, well, who are these guys? And it goes from George Washington, as we said in our promos, to currently to Joseph McGoffin. But when you start at the Washington, D.C. level, I believe L'Enfant was a Mason. Can you verify that? I don't have that in my notes here.
Who is this? Who is this?
The guy who designed the Capitol.
Yes. The architect. He set up the grid system that became the thoroughfares of Washington, D.C.
Northwest, Southwest, and all that. He was the guy. And what people think, that originally, some people think the White House was the most important building to George Washington. Absolutely not. It was the U.S. Sure. Capitol.
Right.
And what he did was the rotunda was the combination of the people and the states. And that's basically what you have in the Senate. Is the states and the people in the House. And that is basically what went on there. And he symbolically put it there. And as George Washington was a surveyor in his career, he walked, rode a horse up on Capitol Hill and said to L'Enfant, he pointed to a spot. He said, that is the spot that becomes the center of the city. And in surveying terms, that's the point of beginning. George Washington picked it himself. The symbology in that building is just incredible. So
right.
Let's talk about some of the things that came out of that. As America moved west, we talked about how they would very often, the Masons would go ahead and they'd establish a building. The first floor would be a school. The second floor would be a Masonic Lodge. That came on all the way out to El Paso. I want to delve back a little bit into ancient times. And we're going to take a break here in about 3 minutes. But in ancient times, the whole theory is that Masonry had its beginnings in King Solomon's Temple.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about
right.
that. Talk about that. It's part of.
Russ, you want to talk about that?
So, a lot of what Freemasonry is, it centers around King Solomon and the establishment of his temple. A lot of the lodges, or all of the lodges, are supposed to be patterned after King Solomon's temple. And it goes back all the way to the rise of the operative Masons, which were the people who made the buildings, you know, in about 1600s, 1700s, those kind of stonemason guilds kind of fallen out of favor. And then they started putting in people that weren't stonemasons, and then they were speculative Masons, which we are to this day. And so a lot of what we teach our members is kind of those traditions of masonry in the sense of constructing a building, you know, and when we teach our candidates and our members is that we are building ourselves in the likeness of King Solomon's temple, that we are making ourselves into this grand, you know,
edifice.
Building of sorts, yeah. An edifice, if you will. And if you look, that each brick in a building is constructed, when it's constructed, you know, is symbolic of that strength that a building lends to the strength of everything in it. And so we as Freemasons are considered to be the bricks that unite all of us into this common building, which is kind of an allusion to King Solomon's temple. And it goes back all, you know, from King Solomon all the way through today, that we are all united as one building, if you will, you know, where we work and play and what have you.
And
so,
and if one of your foundation bricks is crooked, it's a bad deal for the rest of the building.
Exactly.
And that's the same operative masonry, speculative masonry comparison of gravity, basically, for the operatives. Speculative, you do the same thing with your soul or whatever, your psyche.
We believe that we're, you know, building those internal buildings, you know, where we should, you know, labor to build, you know, for the afterlife. Masons are firm believers in the afterlife.
But that's not something that's necessarily a function of Freemasonry. You guys take that on as you're going to build your building and do the best you can for yourselves. And you don't provide a path to salvation like a religion does.
We don't.
And that's a major difference.
That's a strong misconception people have.
Exactly.
You've had you know, important people in the religious arena, like Norman Vincent Peale, and he was one of the most influential. I can't think of his name. Televangelist, but anyway,
Billy Graham.
Yes. And then you have people that are Jewish, and you have people that are Catholic.
Oh, let me speak to Jewish real quick before we take a break. There is a tremendous amount of Jewish people in the lodges of El Paso all the way forward. It's an amazing history, Jewish.
Mount Zion, the synagogue, was actually established by members of the lodge. And the first rabbi, Martin Jelonka, was a member.
There you go.
So, you know, this is the history that we have to remind El Paso that Masons served a critical, part in. And so, you know, St. Clement's Episcopal Mission was actually founded by Masons.
All right.
Go ahead.
We need to take a break here real quick. Melissa, you have a thought on your head?
Something that needs a little bit more time.
Okay, you ready? After the break. Hey, when we come back, let's talk about the Knights Templar. Let's talk about Jacques de Molay. Let's talk about Friday the 13th. Because those are all connected. And it's an amazing history. And why did we think that may be turned into what is now modern Freemasonry? You can't guarantee that occurred, but that's the legend I've heard. Is it close? It is close. I know it is. All right. We're going to take it. These guys aren't going to answer everything I'm asking.
Hey, can't know everything. Whatever. Everybody shares their info.
We're indeed. Okay, taking a break. Come back in a minute. Circle your radio. Go for it. 3, 2, 1, go.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle, the real estate guy with Legacy Real Estate Services. If you're going to sell your home this spring, you owe it to yourself to give me a call at 915-585-7777. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me.
Hi, Jackson Polk here from the El Paso History Show, and I just bought a house through Patrick Tuttle. He's a real estate expert in El Paso, and he should be your agent.
I'm Patrick Tuttle. Call me at 915-585-7777.
The founders of SoftRep.com are former Navy SEALs and special ops guys with content and products tailored to make sure you have real information and protection in all emergencies. Right now, we have the best military-grade survival supplies available. Masks, first aid kits, water filters, anything and everything you need to keep you and your family safe during an emergency. Vetted by military professionals and drop-shipped ASAP to your doorstep. So make sure your go bag is up to date at SoFrep.com. That's SoFrep.com.
As schools close and we embrace social distancing, parents everywhere are struggling to keep children healthy and occupied. Consistency and structure are calming during times of stress, especially for kids. At the Child Mind Institute, top experts are coming together to offer free guidance about how to effectively support our children's well-being and our own during this crisis. Visit childmind.org for resources, support, and daily Facebook Live sessions with child psychologists. Childmind.org.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563, and by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Are you ready for this week only in El Paso, Inc.?
The number of unemployment claims has soared as thousands are laid off and businesses close in the borderland.
Local hotelieries, how do you say that word, hotelieries?
Hotelieries.
People who run hotels locally say the financial devastation wrought by the pandemic is the worst the industry has ever seen and how they are struggling to stay open.
While El Paso insurance companies say it's important for business impacted by the pandemic to file a claim, even if the chances of an award seem slim.
Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso Inc. is available for home and business delivery.
To order your copy of El Paso Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com.
Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, host Saul Sines is talking with Dr. Hector Acaranza of the El Paso Department of Public Health. He will be the guest Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra. He'll have the latest data on the coronavirus in the borderland and recommendations to keep your family safe.
Join host Saul Sines Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7 Extra.
I got to tell you, we've been doing this other conversation on another subject. I forgot about this other stuff. I hate to tell you, but we're doing this because we need to. Bernie, you said there were people out there very appreciative that we got the show in here.
Yeah, at least a half a dozen calls.
Oh, my God. Well, good for you people for listening. If you really feel like it, go on our Facebook page if you can. And put a comment there about what we're doing here, because we think this is important. What do you got, Melissa?
Well, like when you've got Rod Caldwell, his father was a Freemason, as well as his grandfather was a Shriner in Pampas, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is fun, because people are really identify. There's a lot of people and family members. My great-grandfather was a Mason, as well as my grandmother was the Eastern Star.
Well, I think it's good that we identify these kind of things mm-hmm. so people who did not know who these people were, the Masons, and Masons and Freemasons is interchangeable, basically.
Yeah, and you know, Barbara Given-Bainey, we're talking about, remember in El Paso? When,
oh, yes.
This is a good example of some of the information you'll find here. She sent this to me. It says, El Paso's downtown at a third cemetery, and one for the Freemasons for El Paso Lodge, and it was, began as a private burial spot for one of the members, but it was donated to them later on. Moses Carson, one of the most famous, his brother, famous Kit Carson.
Kit the brother.
Yes, he was the first, Moses Carson was the first person buried in that cemetery in 1868.
And there's a Masonic cemetery portion at Concordia,
mm-hmm.
as well as a Jewish section, a Catholic
Odd
section,
fellows,
and a general
and,
whatever,
yeah.
Odd Fellows. That's another group, but I'm not too sure who
but
those
But I mean, you know, groups, different types of philanthropic and organizations.
But
and
the Masons have stuck around. And so let's talk again with Ismael Gutierrez and Russell Booth. Thank you guys for holding on here. I hope you're not on cell phones because the batteries are going to die. You guys are good.
We're good.
All right. We've talked about some of the ancient stuff. I just want to clear up some things. The York Rite has a degree in its branch of Freemasonry called the Knights Templar. But the Knights Templar is a different thing when you dial it back to, what, the 1300s and Jacques de Molay? Can one of you explain that and how that may be part of Freemasonry's origins?
So I think that's for Ismael.
Okay.
Yeah, the Knights Templar obviously was sensationalized by the author Dan Brown.
Oh, my.
And
yes.
And since, basically, Knights Templar were trying to regain, possession of the Holy Land. And so a lot of, historians and other people claim that the Knights Templar came to America and established the Freemasons. And so I highly doubt that. But
you go back to Jacques de Molay, and now there's an order for young men as part of the Freemason family
right.
that's called order. De Molay.
De Molay's, yeah.
That's right. And so de Molay here in El Paso has been struggling. It's an organization that, builds character, and it's for sons of Masons. And, back in the 1900s, we had hundreds of kids. And so I have a picture of the El Paso Scottish Rite, and in front of the stairs, you had a bunch of de Molay kids. And so, we have to get the word out, that we build character. And so that's what we are all about.
There's so many diversions nowadays for children and young students. It's kind of hard to understand how that could work again, but good luck with it. Hope it does. But another theory that I heard was that first of all, Friday the 13th was the day Jacques de Molay went in. And what happened was the King of France called all the Knights Templars in, hey, we're going to do one more crusade. And they all said, yay, let's go in. And they all went into all their lodges, and they locked them in there and arrested all of them. And they burned old Jacques at the stake, literally, in front of Notre Dame. And he is
essentially the martyr for that order.
Right.
Yeah. And so we have to be vigilant, that's what we believe in. But Anyway.
You can't necessarily claim that history, but that history's been landed on Freemasonry at times.
Exactly.
So and what happened was the Knights Templar were taken into custody in France. It was another 6 weeks before they took them into custody in Britain. And by the time they got over there, all those guys disappeared. And that is why they think the British guys who had some sort of treasure, that's where they think the Knights Templar treasure disappeared, because they got them in France.
Yeah, as Russell was talking about earlier, you know, Masonry has, you know, been scrutinized by governments, oppressive governments and dictatorships, because it brings men of all walks of life and faith together as one.
Yes.
And that really is the genius, again, and I reiterate, you know, that is embedded in our Constitution, that we're all equal and that we could master our own fate, you know. And so as informed citizens, you know, we elect our, you know, officials to govern over us.
And
there's no secret agenda. There's no conspiracy about that. You know, that's what we believe in.
But when they met to do the Constitutional Convention, there was one major example of electing a guy to run your organization for a term. They took that from Masonry and put that in the Constitution as a president. I think it is my opinion. How's that? Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay. We got to take one more break, come back, and when we come back, explain to us how, again, somebody can become a Mason, and what is the significance to Freemasonry in El Paso? And did you have another question come in, Melissa, on the phone?
No, not this moment.
Fair enough. All right. Back in a moment.
Amigos at 2000 Montana Avenue, one block east of Cotton. Amigos Restaurant is the green building with the free parking. Amigos serves breakfast and lunch 7 days a week and dinner Tuesday through Sunday. Amigos on Montana has traditional El Paso Mexican food, plus salads, chicken, and chocolate flan. Amigos has private dining rooms for parties and meetings. Get ready, get hungry. We're cooking at Amigos, 2000 Montana Avenue, 533-0155. Amigos!
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino. Enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
If you haven't quoted Allstate lately, it's the perfect time. Now Allstate has new lower auto rates. You can get the same high-quality coverage and hands-on expertise now at new lower rates. Call a local Allstate agent and get a quote now.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive, by Monterey Asset Management, by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping, by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563, and by Amigos Restaurant, 2000 Montana, a block east of Cotton, open 7 days a week. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
A reminder, we have all of our DVDs, all of our documentaries. We just uploaded them to YouTube for free. You want to take a look at them, take a look at them, share them with your kids, because El Paso history is really not taught in the public schools, and not the teacher's fault. It's not in the curriculum. They can't teach it. A lot of teachers know that some of the history, would love to teach it. And these are great tools. So now you got some time at home, and you got the kids or the grandkids hanging out. Get on YouTube. It's El Paso History TV is the channel. So it's youtube.com/El Paso History TV in the search, and you'll find a bunch of stuff. One playlist is these documentaries. Another playlist is Bernie Sargent and the ABC 7 pieces we've been doing. And we got four more ready to go in April if ABC 7 can find the time to put them on the air. And so that's what we've got going right now. And it's on you. And what do you got?
Well, Sunset Film Society, of course, is locked down for like everything else, all the other businesses and museums and such. But again, we want to remind you, get out there in the fresh air. Just because you have to stay in place doesn't mean you can't go outside and move around.
You can also get in your car and go get takeout food at Pepe's.
I was just going to say that. Pepe's has got it. You can get a jug of the margaritas and the one and only.
They'll sell you that?
Yeah, they will. They'll sell you a jug of it. And then also we've got Amigos, which is down there in Montana. 2000. Support our businesses. I mean, they're really important. We need to keep them around.
Mission Del Rey is online, so there. Okay, we got Russell Booth and Ismail Gutierrez. We got about 2 minutes left here. Summarize what you think is important about Freemasonry in the history of El Paso, and also, again, just state how people can join if a man wishes to do so. Ismail. Sergio, where are these guys?
Hello?
There we got you.
Yeah, I'm here. So, you know, Masonry is a beautiful system of morality veiled in allegory and illustrated by symbols. And so, you know, that's an informal motto that we use. The way you could join is, you know, asking. We don't solicit for our members, but, you know, ask a Mason or call them, you know, hey, I'm interested in joining. And so you go through a process. If you don't know of any Masons, and it generally takes about 6 months. But if you do, as was the case in my, you know, I told my cousin Luis, you know, hey, could I become a Mason? And he's in Kentucky, works for the DEA. And he said, don't worry, I'll get you the contact. Well, I was young and he didn't, you know, think that I'd have those contacts. But anyway, I joined the lodge. And so just, you know, go to a lodge and I suggest, visit all of them, because every lodge has a different, pool of brothers. But we're all part of this great fraternity.
You pretty much covered it there. Talk about Masonry in Mexico real quick. Benito Juarez was a Mason. Some of the people in the revolution.
Right. That's right. So in Mexico, it was much more political to my I don't know very well about the Mexican aspect of it. I know Benito Juarez was a very prominent Mason over there. He was essentially the George Washington of us, you know. So
right.
Or
the
everywhere you.
Abraham Lincoln. He was the Abraham
that's
Lincoln.
Right.
Go ahead.
And so, you know, everywhere you go, he believed, again, those Masonic principles. He, you know, the Mexican Constitution is almost word for word copied off of ours. And so I know two presidents of Mexico were buried in the Masonic cemetery, and then they were transferred over there. Now, one of them wasn't as very popular, you know, but anyway. That's right. Mexican Masonry is very political. You have the divisions that occur from the York and the Scottish Rite. And so I wouldn't want to get into the details.
No, that's fine. Gentlemen, we're out of time. Anyway, thank you for doing this. If you need to talk to a Mason, you have to ask them, which is what we've done here. Thank you for relating Masonry to El Paso history. It's incredible the influence that's gone on here. Thank you, guys. And we had Ismail Gutierrez and Russell Booth. Thank you guys very much for joining us today, as well as earlier this morning, we had John Wood and Michelle Wranglewood on the radio. Thank you guys all. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care. Thank you so much.
Y'all take it easy. Sergio, take us out of here. We got time for any more thinking here? Are we done? 3, 2, 1. No, not yet.
No.
He says we got another couple of seconds. Okay. You patronize our restaurants.
Our sponsors, Pepe's and Amigos. You can go get takeout from them. And then also you can go to Mission Del Rey online at missiondelrey.com and do a little shopping.
And they're still shipping the shopping.
Yeah. And one thing I want to point out real quick. Nextdoor app is an excellent app to stay in touch with your neighborhoods and friends.
Indeed. And we'll see you all next week with a live show here on News Radio 690. Jackson for Melissa. Thank you. See you next week.
Here's Carlos Macias, another satisfied customer from Window World El Paso Las Cruces.
Question. We know that you were a recent customer of Window World here in El Paso. And I was wondering, how did you choose Window World?
Well, my wife and I did research through several companies or whatever, and we were just very impressed with the customer service and